Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, when it comes to diagnostic and imaging tools in the medical field, we are heavily reliant on aging technology such as ultrasound, which uses high-frequency sound waves to create an image of inside the body. But the problem is that it's two-dimensional, grayscale, and at times it's hard to make out. My next guest is seeking to change that with a new technology that will allow doctors an unparalleled view of invasive cardiac procedures. Christoph Hennesberger is co-founder and CTO of Luma Vision. He joins me now. Christoph, welcome to the program.
Thanks.
Just give us a state of play of what it's like now to perform heart surgery and why you started working on this project. So we had a heart surgeon on the program not so long ago and a brain surgeon on the program. But just remind people, what are the challenges that you're trying to address when it comes to imaging what's going on in a heart?
Yeah, I think it's maybe first of all, we're not looking at open heart surgery, and we're looking at endovascular and mini-invasive procedures. So that's when doctors try to go through the groin up into your heart and perform a procedure from within the heart. And yeah, the biggest challenge there is you don't really see what's going on in the heart because you cannot just look at it in an open heart surgery.
The open heart surgery, you crack open the ribs and you literally pull apart the ribs so you can see everything you're doing. But that's, of course, hugely invasive. And I think I remember someone talking about, you know, after the surgery for months, you have to have like a pillow over your chest when you're sneezing.
Pretty invasive surgery, open heart surgery. It involves spending multiple days on the ICU, mobilization and everything. Mm. For an endovascular procedure, you're basically discharged on the next day on the same day. And that's really the biggest benefit. You can deal with older patients. You can actually treat a lot of the procedures now in minimally invasive instead of doing it open.
Amazing.
But the main problem we saw actually, and my co-founder and I saw back in the time 2015, now that a large problem there is, as you would probably anticipate with this already, is you cannot look inside the body. So you're pretty much dependent on the information provided by imaging systems and guiding systems. And these are still relatively poor at this point.
What about putting a camera on the end of the tube that you feed through the groin and into the heart? Does that not give you anything useful?
That's the reason why we're using ultrasound, because a camera in the bloodstream, red blood cells, it's not really usable with a normal camera system. And that's why we actually use ultrasound to make the inside of the heart visible.
Okay. And so if I'm performing this sort of surgery at the moment, I'm using live ultrasound images to look at what's going on inside the heart?
Inside the heart today in Europe, you specifically actually may use fluoroscopy. So an X-ray-based modality involves X-rays. And you will have seen this from normal diagnostic examinations. And that's even less suited because X-ray is optimized for heart tissue, bone, for example, fractures. This is where you get an X-ray. It's not optimized for soft tissue, which is obviously the heart.
But you're not doing a live X-ray either.
You're doing it live in the procedure. So you lay on the table.
Oh, you
the
are?
Doctor
okay.
goes in through the groin up into your heart with a catheter, a small tube. And then they use fluoroscopy and X-ray in order to visualize where the catheters are with respect to the patient.
Okay.
But they don't really get the information they need.
So you wanted to work on a solution that was a sensor inside the heart to give a much better view of what's going on to surgeons. What are the challenges with coming up with a solution like that?
So the main challenges are you go in there with a tool, do it from within the heart, and what the main challenges are really is how can you visualize the whole heart and enable the doctors to not only see a very teeny tiny small part of the left atrium, for example, and that's one of the main indications you're looking at, but rather provide a big picture and allow them to navigate fully their procedure. And that's more or less like providing a navigation system to them such that they can go up there efficiently, see where they want to go, see where they want to treat. And one of the main indications would be, for example, valve replacement or left atrial ablation procedures where you try to locally ablate tissue. And this is what we are focusing on to provide the guidance with our system. So the capture range was one of the main challenges for us to address. But then also specific reconstruction. So our imaging methods are fully software-based and also, of course, enabled by machine learning and deep learning technologies right now in order to leverage the imaging data or leverage the data we capture through our system to provide a much more intuitive representation for doctors to navigate within.
When you say ablation, do you mean like searing or closing? What does ablation mean?
So ablation is a procedure where you locally ablate tissue, and the classical way would be radio frequency ablation, which involves high frequency currents, which are then locally, literally burning tissue. And by burning the tissue, you can create an electrical barrier for signals on the heart to conduct and You know that the heart eventually is a muscle, and muscle is actually stimulated by contraction or by electrical signals. So if we create and locally create a barrier by ablating the tissue or burning the tissue locally, the electrical signals cannot propagate. And this way you can stop, for example, certain diseases such as atrial fibrillation by creating this barrier for the electrical signals to progress alongside the heart.
So that's where it's contracting, or it's flapping away in a way that it shouldn't, and this sort of stops that sort of activity.
Yeah, so maybe one of the main indications there for us is atrial fibrillation, which is a fibrillating state of the left atrium. And there, one of the main triggers are the pulmonary veins. These are the four veins coming from the lungs, ending in the left atrium, so one of the chambers of the heart. And what we've seen in one of the main procedures evolving over the last 20 years is a procedure called pulmonary vein isolation, where the doctors try to go in there and they try to isolate these pulmonary veins electrically from the left atrium. And they do this by creating an electrical barrier by ablating around these pulmonary veins.
Wow.
But again, there are the main challenges. Keeping that in mind, the pulmonary vein has a diameter of, let's say, 10 millimeters. The left atrium is diameter of maybe 60 to 80 millimeters. So these are small structures you'd like to precisely navigate.
Yeah.
And again, going back to the navigation task makes it very challenging for doctors today.
Okay, so you have this very intricate procedure. It's difficult to image from outside the body. Ultrasound is not giving you the sort of detail that you would like externally, and you want to be able to do it while the operation is happening. So can you tell me a little bit about what your solution is that you're looking on?
So one of the main challenges going back to ultrasound today, and hence also our focus on this is, and you referred to grayscale before in the introduction. Grayscale means that you have a grayscale picture, and everyone who has seen an ultrasound image will probably understand that it's very hard to interpret. And this is what we're taking away with our system. So what we do is there, we go inside the heart and we take a full reconstruction of the heart. But then we also
How do you do the reconstruction of the heart? This is an ultrasound sensor inside the heart?
Correct. It's a sensor array within the heart. And we, from a single position, we can reconstruct a large portion of the heart. We can almost capture the entire heart with a single position of our catheter on the inside.
So this sensor, this ultrasound sensor, is implanted before the surgery, or it's happened at the surgery? And how does it communicate with, it's a wireless chip, or like how does that work? It's like the idea that you would have a sensor small enough to fit on the heart to get an ultrasound picture of the heart and then beam it back. Just talk to me how that works.
So it may be wireless in future, but right now it is also a catheter. So it's again a small tube. For us, it has a diameter of 3.5 millimeters, and it has these sensors, or the ultrasound sensors, the tip. You go up in the heart, and then locally you get a full reconstruction or a full data set acquired from within the heart with these ultrasound imaging elements there.
Wow.
And that's the foundation of it.
Okay.
The next step for us has been that, again, we tried to take away complexity and provide doctors the tools they need. And by what we do is we reconstruct the full image of the heart, and then we simplify that to create a simplified and anatomical model for doctors, which is very much a structure they would be used to. They see this looks like the left atrium, this looks like the right atrium, so the cardiac chambers. And this is what we provide them then to navigate in.
How do you know what to discard and what to keep? Because as you say, you know, if you're using ultrasound data, it can look a little bit messy. How do you clean up that image to give surgeons a clear picture of what the heart they're operating on looks like and where they need to go?
So we rely on AI and the data we've acquired, and we acquire in this regard. And we've trained various models in order to reconstruct the anatomy from it. This goes back on working very closely with our internal team and also expert physicians to get to the ground truth data first, and then simplifying it up or cleaning it up in a way.
Nice.
And this then allows us to get to really state of the art and cutting edge precision of those models. So our goal is really, and probably to simplify it a bit, most people will probably have heard of computed tomography or CT. And our goal is to provide the quality of a CT reconstruction, but doing this intraoperatively in the procedure. And that's also where we've seen from a development where we are very close.
Okay, so is there different ways you can, because obviously, you know, there's different things you can look at in the heart. You can look at, you know, blood flow, for example. You can look at tissue structure. You might look at electrical flow, because obviously electricity is very important, or electrical signals are very important in the heart. Can you change the sort of, you know, like when you know, kids use night vision, that sort of thing. Like, can you change the mode of the sensor? Are you at that level? Is that something you're looking at?
Absolutely. So we right now have, let's say the basic mode is reconstructing the anatomy from it, but then flow reconstruction or visualizing the flow streams and flow jets in the heart, which are quite relevant for the procedure, this is also an activity which is ongoing for us.
Wow.
On the long term, I think I would call this more under the umbrella of tissue analytics, to really understand how as much as possible about what is going on within the heart, what is going on within the tissue and with the specific chambers and micro tissue of the heart. And this is where we go back to the data we acquire in the foundation, where ultrasound physics provide us a very rich data set. And we can leverage then all the, let's say, more advanced tools which are available today to process it with respect to the modes you just mentioned. So blood flow, anatomy, tissue thickness, tissue information, like is there scar tissue? Is there a lot of fat in the heart wall, for example? All these are factors which are key relevant for the procedure today.
So this sounds cool for a doctor, right? But obviously what the patient is concerned with is better outcome. What sort of clinical trials are you doing? What sort of work have you done to prove that having this reconstruction of the heart leads to better outcomes for patients?
So the baseline, I go back to this procedure I mentioned before on atrial fibrillation. The baseline is that today, unfortunately, almost every second patient requires a repeat ablation before they're free from symptoms. So if you think about the two of us and we both get an ablation, either you or I will need to go back to get the same procedure twice to be free from symptoms. Which
how much does that cost, that sort of a procedure?
I'd say around about €20,000 in Europe and probably the same or a bit more expensive in the US. So significant cost. But if you think about the patient, and that's where we started actually, it's a journey. It's of course stress, also physical implications on the patients. And our goal was, and this is going back to the origins of LumaVision, we wanted to change that. So that's where we focused on providing this better navigation. And now going back to the scientific part, we've seen that actually in a number of studies that if we perform appropriate navigation, and there is a Japanese study, for example, which demonstrated this very rigorously with 105 patients, if we perform a very controlled ablation procedure, we can actually get to rates more than 90% for first-time success. And our goal for Luma actually was, since its beginning, to increase efficacy rates from 50-60%, which is today, to more than 90%. And this is exactly the focus for us, by enabling exactly the right guidance and navigation to make that step, by basically giving all the information that doctors need in order to make the procedure as best as possible.
That sounds very cool. How likely is it that I will have this when I have a heart attack in 5 years' time as I enter Sniper Alley? If I have an AFib procedure or something like that that's coming up, how long is it going to take for a technology like this, which is presumably, you know, expensive enough, how long before it's in hospitals and helping patients?
So maybe to answer your first part of the question is, how likely is it that you will get atrial fibrillation or AFib specifically? Right now, this is the world's most prominent heart-rhythm disorder. We have more than 40 million
patients
worldwide.
Thanks a lot, Christoph.
Yeah, so not ideal. And also the second part I would say is, of course, it gets more prevalent with age, and actually quite significantly. So beyond age 60, we all have very significant risk of developing AFib over time.
Right.
And in this combination now, our goal is, of course, to make this change and to lead to better outcomes. The other part of AFib is it's actually a progressive disease. So if you catch it early and if you treat it early, you have a much better prognosis in the long term. And the longer you wait, and for example, making a step from a early onset fibrillation to very long-standing or permanent atrial fibrillation, your progression rates are actually poor, which means the mortality rates eventually also go up. So maybe going on then to the second part is, you know, when can you use maybe LumaVision's technologies? Yeah. We are actually in the process of getting regulatory approval in the United States right now. Our goal is to be on the market mid next year. We also in parallel actually run clinical studies, and actually our first clinical study will be in Ireland, which is also an important aspect for us.
Yay. That's exactly. Great. That doesn't happen as often as it should. That's brilliant.
Exactly. But we also see that as a side note, the Irish ecosystem is actually quite positive in this regard for maybe also enabling further clinical studies in the future. So we focused on that as well. Unfortunately, there's a change in Europe with respect to the regulatory landscape, which means our first focus is in the US, also as a primary market. But of course, we want to bring this to Europe. And sooner or later, it will be also available, hopefully before either of us would get AFib or some of the listeners on the podcast.
Yeah, I have your number now, Christoph. So I'll just call you up and say, bring around to my house. Really, really interesting speaking with you. I have to say, I met Christoph's colleague at a conference and I was absolutely blown away by this. I was like, we have to talk about this on the program. If you want to see it in action, you can check out lumavision.com. I think it's a really interesting innovation and it's been brilliant having you on. Christoph Hennesberger from Lumavision. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Jonathan. Nice to be here.
Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland
on News Talk.